something that just comes to mind is Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Ali. It just came to mind that Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, there is a very beautiful lesson that he taught to one of his murids. And in fact, since this is probably the last talk on Hajj on Radio Al-Ansar, as my brother Hafiz Wadi mentioned, therefore this incident I think is very relevant, which has come to mind with the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Those people who are going for Hajj, of course it is extremely important that they listen to it carefully. And again I repeat that I have not heard the broadcast over the radio station. I do not know what the other speakers have spoken on and what subjects they have covered, so it's possible and probable that they may have also covered this incident. But to listen to it repeatedly will revive our iman, and especially those who are going for Hajj, it will bring into them that spirit, inshallah ta'ala. Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Alayh, there's great history with regards to him. Nevertheless, he was a very, very saintly person, a very honored person, a very respectable and a dignified person, a person of great spiritual height and great spiritual caliber, and he had great amount of murids. These days, unfortunately, the peer and the murid, we have forgotten the true lessons of piri and muridi. The peers just give some kind of wazifas to the murids, or they make the murids a milking cow, and as long as they are able to fill their pockets and derive the maximum material benefit of their murids, they are quite happy and satisfied. But neither do the murids make any changes in their lives, and nor are the peers much, very much concerned about changes, practical changes in their lives. They are not concerned about their spiritual progress, because unfortunately many of us who are peers, we do not have that spirituality in ourselves. But here this Shaykh Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, he was not one of those ordinary peers. He was not one of those people unconcerned about the murids. Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, one of his murids made Hajj, and then he came to him and he said that I have performed Hajj and I have returned from Makkatul Mukarrama. So the first question that he asked him, that when you went for Hajj, did you make the niyat, a firm niyat of Hajj? He said, yes, I did make a firm niyat of Hajj, that I am going for Hajj, that I am performing my Hajj. Every Haji makes the niyat of his Hajj. So he said, I too made a very, very strong niyat of Hajj. He said, at that time when you made this niyat of Hajj, at that time did you make a firm niyat, a firm determined intention to give up all those things which are contrary to the Sharia? In other words, all those things that are haram, all those things that are forbidden, everything that is against the spirit of Sharia, everything that is against the spirit of Islam, against the spirit of the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that, did you give up all those things? Did you make a niyyah that I'm giving up all those things? He says, no, that I did not do. He says, well, if you did not do that, then you have not made a proper niyat of Hajj. You may consider yourself having made a niyat of Hajj, but if you did not make the niyat to distance yourself from all those things that are against the spirit of Hajj, then you have not made the niyat of Hajj. In any case, after that he asked him a second question, and he says that when you went into ihram, you removed your clothing and then you put on the two sheets of ihram. Every person who is making Hajj, then he will have to don his ihram. So he says, at that time when you removed your clothing for ihram, did you remove from your life everything that is sinful? He says, did you remove from your life everything that is sinful? It is easy, every one of us can put on two sheets of ihram. How long does it take? He says, but at that time did you remove from yourself everything that is shameful, everything that is sinful, everything that is indecent, everything that is haram and forbidden? Did you remove, when you were removing your clothes, all those things from your life? All that evil, did you give up? He says, no, that I did not do. He says, well, if you did not do that, then you did not put on your sheets of ihram, because you did not give up what was supposed to be given. You did not remove those things from your life. So therefore, you did not really put on your ihram. Thereafter, he asked him that, did you make wuzu and ghusl? The haji has to make either ghusl, or if there is no opportunity for that, then at least he has to make wuzu when he is making his salat of ihram. So he says that, did you make your ghusl and wuzu to cleanse yourself? A person, why does he make wuzu and ghusl? To cleanse himself. So he said, did you make ghusl and wuzu to cleanse yourself? He said, yes, I did make ghusl and I did make wuzu. He says, but at that time, did you clean yourself? Did you also make that wuzu and ghusl to cleanse your heart of all the evil that are embedded in your heart? Did you purify your heart from malice? I'm just giving you an explanation. From malice, from greed, from pride, from arrogance, from jealousy, from envy, from evil passions and desires. Did you clean yourself from all those inner sins? He says, no, I just made ghusl and wuzu, but all these things I did not do. He says, well, in that case, you made ghusl and wuzu to purify your body, but you did not clean your heart. You did not carry out the proper purification, as we say, of the soul. So you have not in reality made ghusl and wuzu. Then he said that, did you make the labbaik after your salat of ihram? Did you make the labbaik? He said, yes, I did make the labbaik. I did call out the labbaik. He says, when you called out the labbaik, did you hear any reply? He says, no, I did not hear any reply. What he meant was that he was referring to those hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which the haji has been told that his provisions must be halal, totally halal. Because if he goes with haram provisions, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rejects that hajj. That hajj is thrown back at him. That person is told that your coming is not accepted. When he says, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, he is being told, la labbaik wa la sa'daik. Your coming is not acceptable. No matter how much you may say that I am present here, no matter how much you may say that I have come, O Allah, no matter how much you may think that you are in ihram and you are making hajj, but because you have come with provisions which are haram, you have taken gambling money, you have taken interest money, you have devoured the properties of orphans and widows, you have usurped the properties of people, you have taken that which does not belong to you as inheritance, or you swindled, you embezzled, you stole. In any way, if that money has come from a haram source, then the hajj which that person makes with that kind of provision, it is not acceptable. It is not maqbool. No matter how much we may sell that person hajj maqbool and hajj mabroor, but in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that person's hajj is neither maqbool nor mabroor. In fact, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, your coming here is not even accepted.